Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. We are alive and well, and welcome to Veronica, my lovely co-host. Hi, Ronnie.
I'm glad you're alive and well, Jackie, so much.
Yeah, well,
I'm sure everybody out there.
God, is she really live tonight? We are live.
I'm sorry we didn't do a show last week.
We did not. I just keep running into that funny-looking wall. I think we got it figured out now. And the key for me is to give blood. So
you gotta buddy up with some vampires, I guess.
I really do. I mean, unfortunately, I don't watch any of the vampire movies, but there's got to be an easier way than that shiv they put in your arm. So for those of you that are curious, I happen to have too much iron in my blood, which goes to, it's a Celtic thing through my father that it goes back to the Celtic warriors. And I actually think it, you know, was the team, so I'll just go with that. But so it's a very interesting thing. It makes me incredibly strong, freakishly strong.
Well, we know that that's true.
Yes, I am freakishly strong. However, what happens is I get too much iron in my blood, and it's hard on my liver, and then when it gets real thick, it makes me tired. So I'm in a constant cycle. So now that we've got it figured out, which is really exciting, I just have to remember to run in and you know, give him a pint every 56 days. So anyway, you know, the only thing is I kept telling him, you need to put a caveat on this blood. You know, you may grow antenna.
Wow.
So,
I guess you could put a higher price on it, eh?
I don't know. Either that or, you know, you must have big hair. It's one or the other.
Hey, would you that know, work? Could we get your blood that would have bigger hair?
What?
If we use your blood, we'd get bigger hair?
No, you have to have bigger hair to cover up the antenna. So. Again, not blood for a bald man. So, anyway, what a horrible thought! Some poor bald man growing antenna and boobs. You know, it's just okay. So, sorry.
Hey,
all right.
Okay, go ahead.
What?
I can hardly wait for you for your show. I've been trying to catch up. I didn't get very far, but trying to catch up with some of your...
Oh, you know, there's so much going on. It's almost... You talk about freakish. So the race is on, you know, is disclosure imminent. And, you know, I tried to do this 2 weeks ago. We didn't get there. Certainly, there's a lot of stuff going on between China and the U.S., and there's a lot coming out in the Chinese press, which I'm very fascinated with.
Hmm.
But, of course, in the meantime, we've had all these things going on in the Middle East and this huge sighting in Israel. So, you know, I just want to talk about the Middle East for a moment because...
Wow, it's something, isn't it?
Oh, wow. Again, you know, we go back to... You know, 2011 being so fast, it's going to be tough for us to, you know, we have to really just meditate and pray. Meditate and pray. Eat well. Preferably for your blood type. At any rate, I was talking to a client that I have that not only lives in the Middle East, but, well, lives in Italy, but has homes in the Middle East. The wife is Palestinian, the husband is Lebanese, and they have numerous homes, and it's a very interesting combination because you would not normally see a Palestinian and a Lebanese married, but due to long histories. What's really fascinating is how excited she is, and I mean really excited, and as are all of her friends. About what's happening in the Middle East. And what she mentioned as well, she said that everybody is excited and grateful, that also WikiLeaks, and they all feel that this is a very, very big disclosure process. And I found it fascinating. Now, these are highly educated people, and with many business interests, so, you know, they're not, well, you know, again, I thought it was very, very interesting to hear her take on it, you know, from living there and having family all over the Middle East.
So she's not afraid or just not showing consternation at all, eh?
Well, it's interesting because she has a major bakery in downtown Beirut. And, I mean, they do like 1,000 customers a day. And there, of course, there's a lot of unrest in Lebanon as well. And regardless of what's going on, everyone is so excited that they feel finally that the people are coming forward to say, this is enough, it's enough, it's enough. And so it's renewed hope for all of them. It's actually quite beautiful. You know, I wanted to talk for a minute about, because I never listen to the news. I'm so busy, and I was getting in bed the other night. This was the first night people were pouring into the streets in Cairo. And I got very upset about the pyramids, because that's the capstone of consciousness on the planet. Not the physical pyramid so much, but it's a frequent energetic and in a higher dimension. And so that night, what I thought was very interesting is Natalia said she was taken like in a pod, and Laura, who slept till 10 the next morning, and she's a morning person like I am, but when Natalia, she saw me aboard ship, et cetera, and it was specifically, and she knew nothing about what was going on. She didn't even own a television in Cairo. And she said, you know, we went to Cairo and we set these grids and so on, and around the pyramid. And so she tells me this the next morning, and I said, before I went to bed, blah, 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 I was upset about what was going on there and felt the necessity and talked to the team and said, we've got to do something. So it's really interesting how all this is fitting together. Then you and I talked.
Mm-hmm.
You have an interview coming up with a woman who's on BBS radio,
mm-hmm. but
who also
Corey.
Said
mm-hmm.
that the pyramids were fine, that she was aware that there were grids also. So, you know, I want to talk just briefly about the fact that all of you are so powerful. And I can tell you that it wasn't just those two aboard the, and three, myself included, aboard ship. But I want you to really get everybody that you are participating in everything that's happening in the dream state and doing all that you possibly can to help the earth. And I would encourage you to be conscious of sending love and light to the earth in these places and to the people. I would assume everybody's doing it anyway, but to be as conscious about it as possible, that our support is very, very much needed, and the earth needs our support. The Middle East, a very, very, very important place in more ways than imaginable. There was a sighting, and I threw this in, And thank you. I got it from several sources, but dear Jara sent it to me, and she was listening to Don Nikoloff's show. I don't know who that is, on BBS, I guess. Yes, on BBS. Evident Footprints was the name of the show. And they were discussing this video. This was, I don't know, the other night. This happened on the 28th of January. Now, I had a confirmation from a good friend of mine who doesn't come forward very often that was aware of the energetics of this but never said anything. I thought it was really fascinating. And this is on, unfortunately, I couldn't get all this stuff out to everybody. This was at the panoramic lookout over Mount Zion and the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. It happened at 1 a.m., and the sighting took place, let's see, blah, 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 the morning of the 28th. Men noticed this large ball-shaped UFO suspended in the night sky, began to film. A little after 1 minute into the clip, the UFO descends almost to ground level directly over the Temple Mount. The craft hovers there for a short while and then flickers and shoots straight up at an incredible speed. Now, this is on YouTube,
Unfortunately, I don't have the reference for it. But if you search Temple Mount or, let's see, Jerusalem.
I think I have it here.
UFO. It's not on the thing that I sent you, I don't think.
No, but I think Squirrel sent it.
I didn't get it from Squirrel.
Oh, okay.
So, moving on. I mean, there's just so much stuff this week. It's just mind-boggling. The other article, which I think I sent out, I don't know if I sent it out again this week or whatever. Hopefully I did.
This is called UFO over Dome of the Rock Temple.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Okay. This was a $5,000 ticket. Okay. $5,000 a ticket. Business leaders meeting. Okay, called the Global Competitiveness Forum. Which was held in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
And during this meeting, I love this, they were told that flying saucers are real and they better start thinking about business implications of extraterrestrial life and technologies. This was convened at the Saudi Arabian General Investment Authority. I love this. They also held a panel discussing UFOs and extraterrestrial life titled Learning from Outer Space. And there were five speakers who all endorsed the view that extraterrestrial life is real.
How fun.
Has many implications for the world as we know it. Now, I'm reading this stuff and I am just like going cuckoo. Chinese national television Zhenhao News is also reporting impending extraterrestrial disclosure by Obama. And this was, you know, this has really been in many different articles that have come out lately, that there would be three separate disclosures by Obama, nothing direct, but little bombs dropped.
Little Obama's?
Yes, Obama's. Obama's. And this is all over Chinese news, which I'm really fascinated by, that there's kind of this race going on between China and the U.S. because they are, at this point, very competitive to be the world power, and we may very well drop down and no longer be the world power at the rate things are going. But
is the information age, and that's what they're competing on right now.
Yes. Well, they're calling it the extraterrestrial disclosure race, and that there'll be a new Cold War over alien and UFO secrets between the two superpowers. Now, I just think this is great. I'm sorry, but I listen, whatever it takes to get this information out is perfect. And then, you know, they go on to say that neither side particularly wants to admit it to the public that they're in contact with aliens. But at the same time, they also want to be the first one to do it. So this is, and I circled this, in an era where both superpowers possess enormous nuclear arsenals, it is essential that the race to UFO disclosure does not heat up into full-blown conflict, or else alien observers themselves might be forced to intervene. And again, I'm going to, you know, this has been the promise of the team all along, that, and I certainly it's come from other sources as well, we will not be allowed to use nuclear weapons on this planet, not since 9/11. And, of course, 9/11 was a crapshoot. Nobody knew. For those of you that don't know, Bashar stopped channeling for 3 years prior to 9/11 and indicated that there would be an event in New York, but that it was up to us to decide what kind of event it would be. Had it been nuclear, which there was the possibility, okay, there would be no need, basically, for Bashar to ever channel again. So, his first channeling was in October of 2001, the month after 9/11. And Now this goes there's been more and more disclosure, and some of this stuff has been coming up and it's been discussed in other things. The oft-quoted Zhang Yifeng, professor of physics at Yunnan University and director of the Kunming UFO Research Association, is now claiming that aliens are alive and well and living in Yunnan and other cities whose names I can't pronounce. Complicated terrain of these places makes them perfect for observation of us Earthlings. But I believe they're nice and they have no intention of attacking us. Perhaps they're shapeshifters camouflaged as human beings, or they've manufactured human-like robots to watch us. there's actually quite a long article about their existence. And then Alfred Revery, who has been doing an awful lot of work about exopolitics, he's also talking about the fact that there will be, that there are rumors that Obama is going to do some disclosure about extraterrestrials. And he's going to make off-the-cuff announcements regarding UFO visits and U.S. contact with aliens. Now, supposedly, DARPA has approved this. And for those of you who don't know who DARPA is, Bob, I know you're there. You do know. But DARPA is part of the Department of Defense, financed the whole advent of the computer generation and has been very involved with a lot of free energy programs and so on. But they're also supposedly endorsing it as well and giving it a green light. Again, there's not going to be outright admittance, but, you know, I do feel this is coming, and it's interesting. You and I were talking the other day, mm-hmm. and you said that Bashar had revised, because I know he was talking 27 years or something, and you said he's revised to 3 years
mm-hmm.
before we have full contact.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is all of this is said to be part of a warm-up program leading to eventual outright admittance of knowledge of UFO and alien visitation by major world governments within 3 years.
Hmm.
So I thought that was a very interesting statement that coincided with what you had said that Bashar had
right.
had brought
yes.
forward. Now, there was somebody else here. Let's see. Stanley Fulham, who died of pancreatic cancer, and I know he felt that his death had to do with, unfortunately, government intervention. Whether that's true or not, I don't go to those places. So please be aware that I'm not one of those to point the finger. I don't think that accomplishes anything at this timing. But it's really interesting. A lot of this stuff is saying, you know, by 2011 to 2012, that humans will be able to handle the truth, that we're finally ready, that there's going to be such a shift in consciousness. It's interesting that this stuff is coming from different sources. You know, I mean, you and I, you know.
That's encouraging, actually, isn't it?
It's phenomenally encouraging that it's coming from all these different sources
mm-hmm.
where all over the world people are jumping on this saying yes, 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 yes. I thought it was very, very interesting that we would have the sighting. And for those of you that can find it on YouTube, it is so worth watching. It's so worth watching. It's just like, oh, my gosh. We are living in the most exciting time imaginable, absolutely imaginable. I wouldn't want to be anyplace else in the universe right now because I'm so damned excited at the idea that there will finally be awareness, you know, disclosure, you know, I think it has negative connotations to it, but, you know, validation, I'll go with, you know, I think what's happening right now is that the pressure is coming from outside of the government to push it forward. And they even talk about the fact that there is an ascendancy within the government of forward thinkers who are saying, enough, okay? We've got to disclose. We have to disclose. And I do agree with this whole thing between China and the U.S., from my perspective only, that the people, whether they're U.S. citizens or Chinese citizens, are going to be absolutely beside themselves if they believe that they're, A, the last to know. It's going to be hard enough to accept. And I'm hoping that the positive side of this will outweigh the negative side, which I believe it will, that there will finally be acknowledgement by major governments to say, yes, they really do exist. It's interesting, in one of the things that I did include, there was a story of a man, again, this came out of Webry, I believe, about, it was Webry, about a man, Mr. Wills, who's 6 feet, 8 inches tall, and talks about how he was adopted by a human family, how he had to deal with his unusual abilities growing up, plus his size.
Yeah, we watched some of that last night. It's very long. I didn't get it finished.
Okay, and that he had continuous contact with an extraterrestrial delegation that briefed him on, you know, things that were going to happen in his history and so on and so forth. I really want to say to all of you that, you know, we are becoming, you know, there was a book written about this years and years ago, You're Becoming a Galactic Human.
Right. I've got that, I think.
Yeah. I believe with all my heart that you know, if you're listening to this program, more than likely, okay, you are part of this whole movement, and this is happening to so many people all over the world. I'm hearing from them every day. New people are contacting me with their experiences of having been contacted, having been told that they're really extraterrestrials, that they have extraterrestrial lineage. It is so amazing that, and to me, it is prophetic in that I think for those of you that are listening that have felt so different, like you didn't fit into the world, and so many of you are abductees and have had, you know, experiences that were very difficult for you to handle, I think you will all come to understand that majority of all of that was for a reason to assist you rather than to hurt you, to try to make this transition as comfortable as possible, if there is such a thing, and to help with the genetics in terms of being human and still having extraterrestrial seed. And not that we all don't, but definitely there are those of you that carry more than others. So, you know, I really am looking forward to the day when people have to wear signs. I'm really an ET, you know.
But maybe that whole cloaking process will just sort of dissolve when it's not essential anymore.
Well,
some of us will even have our own faces dissolved so that something else is revealed. What do you think of that?
I think that that's an absolute possibility, and I think I think anything and everything is possible. And, you know, I talked to you earlier in the week. I had some photos shot at the house to put onto the new website and for the other website, Women in Ufology. And I took them in front of different, what are special to me in my home in terms of pieces that have a lot of energy to me. And one of them is my statue of Callie that goes to the intensives with us. And So we went upstairs. Now, my house is all red and cream and black. I mean, it's, you know, burgundy red. There isn't a piece of blue in the whole house. And we were upstairs at night, and he was taking photos. This was the last group of photos. And I had a precious little guy, all, you know, 80-pound Chinese kid. He was adorable. And he said, in his adorable accent, "Jackie, you need to look at this camera." And I looked at the camera, and my eyes were turquoise blue, not just in one shot, but in all of them. So, you know, when you talk about the uncloaking, maybe that's part of it. It actually thrilled me to think that maybe I have, you know, turquoise eyes instead of, you know, one just in the middle of my forehead. So.
But you'll have to change out all your makeup now.
He wanted to know if I wanted him to Photoshop it, and I said, no, leave him. I said, because to me, it's like, you know, the phenomena that we're experiencing, every piece of it is to be celebrated and have fun with it. And I think everybody's going to be having more and more and more phenomena. And I really want to encourage you to have fun with it. And certainly you've had, I mean, come on, Veronica, look at all the phenomena you've had.
I know, it's really fun. Well, my eyes change color sometimes.
Well, mine, like, it's pretty hard for mine to go from brown to turquoise.
Mine are more of a chameleon hazel, so it's easier, right?
Yeah, I would assume so. But, you know, and mine can go a dark green with the brown around them. But not turquoise. I mean, these were turquoise. These were unmistakable. Now, that did happen at an intensive, and for those of you that were present, you're aware of it. I will say that the love was flowing through me. It was actually painful, and it shows in the photographs, because the love flowing through me at that part of the shoot, I mean, downstairs, it was like the Federation walking through the dining room. Every place we did it.
What household do you live in?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said, what a household you live in.
Oh, please. You know, and everybody could feel it. It wasn't just me. Thank God I have witnesses, because otherwise it's locking me up.
And yeah, you're a portal.
Good. So what do you think of the possibilities of there being extraterrestrials existing on Earth now?
What do I think?
Yeah.
Oh, I have no doubt at all. But I told you, I saw one when I was in Tucson one day. There was this funny little, I told you this story, I think. There was this funny little brown Hillman, and in Tucson 10 years ago, little brown Hillmans, British cars, were pretty darn rare. And there was a lady driving. It looked like she was on her way to a church tea with a flowered hat and looking very prim with tight little lips. And as I drove by, all of a sudden this whole thing melted, and I saw that she had an alien face. And I just cracked up laughing. I went, wow, good job. I mean, who would have thought? I was just howling with laughter. And I had no question, you know, in my mind that that was real. But that was my first awareness that they actually cloak that in such a way.
Well, they can cloak. Now,
they don't all do that, do they?
Do that. And the Greys have been known to do that in an unbelievable number of ways, to do a lot of different kinds of cloaking, as owls, as wolves, as clowns, as other humans. But the idea of them, and now I have encountered humans that I knew were absolutely unequivocally extraterrestrial, and these were tall, blonde Nordics.
Sort of Pleiadian type.
Yeah. And I mean, so unmistakable that I was at dinner one night, and I actually could not move I until they actually left the restaurant. I was just riveted. I couldn't.
Wow.
I couldn't do anything because, and you know, if it had happened today, I would have gotten up and gone over and introduced myself. At the time, I wasn't ready for it, but today I would, without even thinking twice. And I think many people have had, the thing is, you don't know if they're popping in. or if they actually live here. And I think that's kind of one of the interesting pieces is, are they interdimensionally popping in?
I think they are. I frankly want to say they just live normally here, but my first thought right now is that they do pop in and out. And if I had the opportunity, wouldn't you?
I think they pop in. I don't think there's any question that they pop in. I do not think that they're living on Earth. I think like this young man who is talking about how different he is and that he was guided and taught by a group, you know, during his childhood and so on. I think so many of you have had these experiences, whether you consciously recall them or not.
Mm-hmm.
But do I think they pop in and out? I think they pop in and out all the time.
I think so, especially if there's no, I mean, the thing I'm conscious of is there's no time. You know, we're so adhering to the timelines, but if there is no timeline, they can do it any way they want. I don't imagine they would hang out here and have a mortgage and sweat the taxes and all that, would they?
Well, I actually, no. And I actually, well, why? when they can observe and pop in and out, why would they do that, as difficult as it is to just environmentally be on the planet?
Yes, because isn't that true also that they've had a hard time maintaining their health by staying here very long?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
I think that this is part of the hybriding process in order to create a hybrid human cross that would be sturdy enough to be able to handle the environment on Earth.
Hmm.
I think that's part of it. I think that, you know, that's part of the what people refer to as the abduction scenario. Bashar calls it the detainment scenario. I much prefer that.
Mm-hmm.
Abduction sounds really violent and harsh.
Very scary, right? Yeah.
That does. It has a lot of scary to it. And for any of you who feel that way, and I guess I haven't talked about it for a long time, but I certainly encourage you to read Dolores Cannon's books, especially The Custodians, and then all of her follow-up books, Convoluted Universe 1, 2, 3, and I think she's got 4 out now.
Hmm. Jackie, this is maybe a naive question, but how don't we open up to what we've experienced at some point? Don't we wake up and remember it? Can't we?
I think we're in the process of pulling a lot of that up. With the abduction experiences, that's opening up a little bit. It's not intended to open up totally because it's too, the human mind can't handle it. One thing that they are aware of, and the whole purpose of screening the experiences in the brain, was so that humans wouldn't be traumatized as greatly. What they didn't realize is that it would stay in the emotional and the physical body.
Hmm.
And, you know, the team has developed a process. It's a one-session deal where they work with people to take them. It's really beautifully done. I don't know how they do it, I have to tell you. They take the person back to childhood in their bed when they know they're coming, and every child that has had these experiences know they're coming. They know before they go to bed at night. That's why they're so afraid.
Hmm.
And
is that why some little ones don't sleep at all?
That's right.
Yeah.
They know they're coming, and they don't know how to verbalize it, or they have this kind of thing in them that they're not supposed to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, having had the experience I had with my children, interestingly enough, we didn't discuss it, even though we were all together when it happened.
Hmm.
I talked to other people about it, but as a family, we never discussed it until much later in life.
Hmm.
And my daughter wouldn't even admit to it until a few years ago.
Wow.
So, but at any rate, they take them back to that moment until the body, the physical body that they're in now, starts responding, and all of a sudden the body will start trembling, or they'll have actual physical experience of this knowing they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
They immediately pop them out of the bed, out of childhood, and take them aboard ship. They must have some agreement with the Greys to do this. Take them aboard ship to meet if they have hybrid children, which our experience so far is that everybody has had hybrid children, as I recall. I may be wrong. If there's somebody listening that didn't, please, I apologize. I think there was one person that didn't.
So I guess I better sign up for one of these experiences, because I just would like to be taken back like that.
What I'm fascinated by, Veronica, is that over about 2 months, 2 months is the figure that they give me, over a period of about 2 months, it unweaves out of the brain somehow.
Hmm.
And people are left with this very loving feeling and no trauma.
Hmm.
Now, there may be, you know, work that has to continue on to undo some of the physiological trauma, you know, if there's digestive issues or whatever, but the psychological trauma is cleared. It's very loving, and I'm fascinated, and people are allowed to have conscious contact with their hybrid children, which is very celebratory, because whether you're male or female, especially for the women, if you have this sensing that you have a child out there, there's this sense of loss that's always kind of there, this loss, because that's what mothers do.
Mm-hmm.
And
interesting. So you're actually then more able to be, to exist in a multidimensional framework.
Are, and you feel connected.
Wow.
You're not doing it anyway in the dream state, but you're more connected, and there is a resolution. I mean, I think it's, they've been doing this for years. Because I never planned on working with with detainees or abductees. That was never what I thought I was supposed to do, but boy, it happened very quickly.
Hmm.
So, but for those of you, if you've had that, I can tell you this is a beautiful experience, very loving, very non-threatening, and I thank the Grays for cooperating in the way that they have to do this session, because you're taken right aboard a gray ship with one of the elders standing there, and they're brought in, and the contact is done very gently, very lovingly. It's not shocking and overt. It's definitely a getting to know you kind of contact. Many people have stayed very much in contact with their hybrid children afterwards, so it's really quite lovely. I had one person who didn't want any more children. We did a session. This is Wendy. I know you're listening, Wendy. And because she has so many already, and she swore up and down there was no children when we got to the aboard ship. And then a week later, they made contact with her. I knew they were there, but there was nothing I could say because I'm in channel, and I'm like, Wendy, can't you see him? You know, I'm in my head, but I can't say anything. So the contact is very definitely made. It just was very funny, I thought. Anyway, I'm going to bring the team in and let them talk with you.
Oh, Lord.
Back with everybody. I love you. Good to be back with you, Ronnie.
You too. I'm glad. This is exciting stuff.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's wonderful to see you two having so much fun. And enjoying these exciting times, aren't you?
Yes,
never knowing
really
what the
exciting
next revelation is going to be. Now, oh, there are going to be lots and lots of surprises in this year. We encourage all of you to stay as absolutely positive as you possibly can. Your energies now are needed more than ever before. Please be responsible as you can. We can't make you do anything, and we're not going to shame and guilt you into anything. But you'll be sad down the road if you don't participate in assisting these transitions that are going on in your Middle East and will occur in other places as well as people take to the streets and say, enough's enough.
Is it going to happen here?
Well, when you ask that question, it may happen in different ways, Veronica. You're not going to have the same kind of thing necessarily that you're having in the Middle East. No, because the circumstances are different. Will there be forms of people coming out and saying, look, we're done, we're not going to do this anymore? Of course. Will it be, you know, hopefully nonviolent? Hopefully nonviolent, and hopefully your government is able to act in a way that's responsible enough to try to ameliorate some of the issues. You're going to have plenty to keep you busy. Focus on your planet right now. Focus on peace. All right? In every way that you can. Now, when we say focus on peace, we mean focus on peace. And that means not pointing fingers at all the people that are wrong. All the things that are wrong. All right? There are going to be plenty of people doing that. Try not to jump on the bandwagon if you can. All right? We know all of you, and all of you are working so diligently in large groups. All right? You've been preparing for these times. This is why you came, people. This is why you came. And you are the bridges. All right? Now you can say, well, I'm not in the Middle East. What am I going to do? Oh, don't underestimate your influence, please. You can't play small anymore. As we said, this is why you came. Now, in the midst of all this chaos, and of course, always with chaos, comes change. Dramatic change. Sometimes overnight change. Certainly, some of the unfoldments that are happening right now have been overnight. And there'll be more. And there will be more. And they are going to be dramatic, many of them. You've had some build-up. It's not like you haven't had dramatic things happening. We don't know how much credence you gave to them. Some of the sightings that have occurred right after, especially right after the Stargate opened. Going beyond cosmic winks to big blink, blink, blinks. And now, more. You have the knowledge, you have the wisdom, you have the wiring, and we do mean wiring, to be of service, to be the lighthouse, to be the one that comes forward with wisdom and calm. Yes, disclosure is imminent. Will it all happen tomorrow? No, it's going to happen gradually. No surprise to any of you. Remember to celebrate it without pointing fingers and making people wrong. You drop the resonance of the celebration. And you're going to have enough people afraid, concerned, slightly panicked. Be loving for all of them. This is not the time to skip down the street saying, I knew I was right, I knew I was right. You see, I told you, I told you. It's the time to sit down with these people and say, how are you feeling? How do you feel about this? Can you integrate this information? And make it okay with your belief systems. Can you find a way to mold this together with some of your other beliefs? The world's not going to come to an end. They're not going to come and eat you. If they were going to do that, they could have done it a long time ago. You've been ripe for the picking.
You.
All right. That was never the intent. Ever. But you're doing it, people, and we want you to be aware. If you don't take any conscious responsibility, you're already participating co-creatively in all that's going on. The option is to be conscious about your co-participation, which we would hope would feel much better and more exciting. Try not to make it a, I told you so, or a vindication for you. See, I was right all along. See, I told you. Nobody wants to hear that. They need you to be there in a loving way, in an understanding way. This is not about win and lose. It's about win and win. And you have enough knowledge, you have enough understanding to be able to say, look, we have family out there too, all right? We're just part of a bigger family and a bigger version of God and a bigger version of Goddess. Assuage their fears if you can. That's the most loving thing that you can do. We've been saying this for a long time. People are going to poke you. All right? Hey, you've always talked about those ETs. What do you think? Well, the truth's going to come out. And you're going to find out that they really love you and they've been trying to help. They're not here to hurt you. Why didn't they come here and fix everything? Look at the Gulf and what happened to New Orleans. And because it's your planet. All right? It's your planet. They didn't let you blow it up. They didn't let you blow it up. Assuage their fears in any way you can, because they're all going to have them. They've seen enough television programs and movies and things that they have these images of reasons to be afraid. And they don't need to be. They're not going to be big wars in their skies fighting over who gets you. That won't happen. The transition will be as gentle as possible. There'll be a little shock here, a little shock there, nothing too big. There's going to be a lot of misinformation, people, and please be aware of that.
There already is, isn't there?
Oh, yes. There's going to be a lot of people jump on the bandwagon. A lot of them. So use your discernment, all right? Shocking, frightening kinds of occurrences are not going to happen. That's not the intent. Winks and blinks, yes, all right? Look over here, look over there, look over here, look over there. You're going to notice more and more than you ever have. I walked into him, I swear, I saw something out of the corner of my eye. I saw a flash of light over here. They're not going to pop in and scare you. It'll be gentle, be loving. There's going to be a lot of individual contact. You know, we've said all along, mass landing is not the answer right now. Your planet's got enough to do. with everything that's going on. That's the last thing they need. And there's been a reason why it hasn't occurred up till now. Other things had to happen.
Well, I was just thinking that we always heard that they were afraid to be seen by us because we're such a treacherous group of beings. Is that over now, or do they trust us better now?
They know those of you that want contact. Now, you think you want contact, but it still has a little bit of, you know, there are some of you that would be perfectly fine with it. But it's going to be gentle and it's going to be easy. All right? Remember, they're in a different dimension. They're not going to become fully physical. There's no need for them to do that. The goal is for you to open up faster and faster to become more multidimensional so that you can see them easily. It's a process that's already happening. Just because you see something, Veronica, and the other person in the room doesn't see it, doesn't make it not real. Of course it's real. Some people have the ability to see more and experience more, but it doesn't mean that their friend isn't having equal experiences. They're just not able to see them yet. But they will. And then there are those who aren't ready to see. I don't want to see him. Don't tell him not to come here. Nobody's going to shove this down your throats. That was never the intent, contrary to what your media may have brought forward, which is just sell lots of tickets or get you to tune into the program. But what an exciting time. And if you talk to enough children, they already know. They're far more comfortable than humans, as adult humans are. They've been waiting. They're excited. Now, will Obama be the one? Yes. That was always the intent. Always the intent.
Is he always talking to them? Is he already in association?
No, we didn't say that.
Oh.
Is he doing things in other dimensions? Yes. Is he consciously aware of his contact? We would say no, not at this time. Hmm. Is he aware that he has guidance? Yes. But it's come out of his levels of frustration, just so you're aware. But he has a commitment and a determination to see this through on many, many different levels.
Hmm.
The extraterrestrial piece, at this timing, he will not leave office. You can mark our words on this without some form of disclosure. And we make that as a very broad statement. Notice we didn't say when.
Mm-hmm.
We said he will not leave office without disclosure.
Hmm.
It will be his mark, because that's the way it was always intended.
And we have to wrap up. We have about...
All right. Now, Veronica, talk about your show.
Galexis is coming on next Tuesday night, and
that's
a friend of yours, yes. And we're going to talk about love and self-love and all that it entails to have a really wonderful Valentine's.
Beautiful.
And I'll be doing Radiance by Design next 7 o'clock next Thursday night. Again, it's a call-in show, teaches meditations and so on. But I also want to say, up and coming, I have two things. One is Patricia Corey, who talks with beings, space beings and so on, as well. She's coming on March 1st, and right now I believe she's in Egypt, which is kind of interesting. And the other thing is Jackie is going to come on and talk about how we can learn to be more discerning about when we meet beings from, you know.
Oh, yes, she loves that one. All right.
I want her. I wanted her to talk with people about it. We had an amazing conversation. So that will be coming up on Paradigm Shifters recently or soon, and we haven't decided when yet.
Excellent.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. We would very much like to work with you all tonight. And again, this is optional. Please be aware that we're not going to force this on you. But if you desire to call us in, all right, for the opportunity to have and the possibility, now remember what we're saying here, and the possibility that you can bring a little bit more back with you than normal of your dreamtime meeting, we'll call it that, aboard ship. We'll call it a big ship conference. How's that? And you're invited to meet. Some beings are going to be very involved, all right, and already are, not only in disclosure, but in a lot of the orchestration that's going on right now. So if you're ready and you'd like to participate, when you go to sleep tonight, you call us in. Dear team, I really want to attend, all right, and I'd like to bring back some memory of it. As much as I can handle. Please understand, you will only bring back what you can handle. Be aware. We're not here to shock you. All right? Or traumatize you. That's not loving. And that goes against what we desire to do for you and with you, which is to make this as loving as possible, as co-creative as possible, and as supportive as possible. You are our family. And if you think about it, as family, we love you, we honor you, and we welcome you. We welcome you.
Thank you.
We love you, everyone. We send to all of you our total, complete, unconditional love. It is always a joy to be with you as we send that out over the airwaves to all of you. To all of you. And to your families. Until we speak with you again, dear ones, in this format. Namaste.
Namaste.
All right. Are we still on?
Yes.
No click. All right, everybody. I love you. They're doing this tongue-in-cheek. I want you to know it's killing me. They're going to give us a little bit, but they don't give it all. And they won't give it to me either, because a lot of times I can see around the edges. They're not letting me see. Know that we love you, Veronica and I. A piece of each and every one of you is in us, and a piece of us is in you. We really are all one. What an extraordinary time to be alive. Thank you all for participating and co-creating with us. Good night, everybody. Good night, Ronnie.
Good night, Jackie. Good night, everyone.